Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8 to decipher and interpret the parable there about the sower and the word. Now we've had, this is what'd you say, Beth? This is number 9 teaching on this. So we had a lot of teaching before we got to this to get to this. And then we've had quite a bit on this, and we're only to the stony ground. So God's been real good to us, amen? So we want to continue down the lines with that this morning. If you got your Bible, let's look at Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. Recap just a little bit before we get started here. Verse 4 says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable." This is talking about Jesus. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." Now, we said trodden down. What that means is they don't give it any place. They don't give it any value. Y'all remember the scriptures that we went over, and I remember one of them that we went over was how that the God of this world blinds the hearts and minds of people lest the glorious light of the gospel shine in. So these people are here in this category that have never been born again, and sometimes that word is just, it just goes right past them. It means nothing to them. Some thinks, I don't need a religious crutch, or for whatever reason, and that causes the wayside ground because they trod it underfoot. Has no value to them. He says, "And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because what? It lacked moisture." How do we say you moisturize it? You hear the same word. When we went over there to Paul said, "I plant," he said, "Apollos waters." What is he saying? How is he watering? Well, he's basically preaching the same thing that the Apostle Paul preached, and he says, "I plant it, Apollos waters it, and God is the one that gives the increase." He goes on and he says, verse 7, "And some fell among thorns." "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold." And when he had, in other places it says 30, 60, and 100, "and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Y'all remember how we went over the scriptures and we come to the realization that a willing heart will cause a hearing ear? God can't even talk to you about some things if you're not willing to hear them. He goes on, verse 9. It says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He says, But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." Y'all remember we went over the scriptures how that, 1 Peter 1:23, somewhere around in there, where it said that, my mind just went blank all of a sudden. Oh, that God's word, we was being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. How that the word of God is, it's eternal. You know, it cannot change, it doesn't decay, it never grows old, becomes obsolete or anything. So there's nothing wrong with the word. The Bible says not one word of God is void of power. You go on here and he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe," he says, "and be saved." Now we got here to verse 13, "They on the rock are they which when they hear," remember a willing heart makes a hearing ear. Some things you can't even hear it, you don't hear it. I remember last week, because we've been on this for a while, I was in the kitchen, the TV was on preaching, Scotty was sitting in there, and I knew it was on preaching because it was on that when I got up, but after I got in the kitchen, I couldn't make anything that they were saying. I'm busy, you know, and all that. And all of a sudden, they begin to talk about Mark 4. Guess what happened? I heard it, Johnny. Yeah, I'm like, what? What'd they say? I wasn't hearing one word before that. But this ground here, he says, they're on a rock, and we talked about how that's not just little rocks in your ground. It's when you look it up, it's like a sheet of rock. And it says, which when they hear, what happens? They receive the word with joy. Some places, Mark and Matthew, I think it says, they receive the word with gladness. Now, we said right here, faith was made. How do I know that? Because the first indicator of faith is going to be joy. Have you ever seen anybody that They're in faith, and they said, I tell you right now, this believing God, he's going to bring it. And you just look so sad, and like you've been sucking on a lemon. You're not in faith. Why? Faith has joy. And we'll get on to some of that. I looked up a scripture here. Go, Beth, put it up for us so we won't have to turn there, please. Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all what? And what? In what? Ah. Believing has peace and joy in it. It makes you glad. So we see here, they're better than wayside ground, because wayside ground couldn't even hear it enough for it to get in their heart. Because remember we talked about how there's things in your head, it's just head knowledge to you, but then there's things of the Word of God that it actually gets down in your heart and it makes faith. You believe it, you receive it. So he says here, they receive the Word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, we looked up that word temptation there, means trials or testing, they fall away. Now remember the other one that we read, I can't remember now if it was Matthew or Mark, but it said in the time of affliction and persecution. And we looked up the word affliction, and that word affliction in that verse that we did last week, it meant to pressure. See, once you get born again here, when faith comes, right here, you better get real good at walking and living by faith. Because when you hear the word and you get born again, now you're born into a whole new kingdom that you don't have a clue about. You don't know how this kingdom operates necessarily, but how many knows you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth that you don't even know is truth yet, that you don't even necessarily know you're supposed to be doing, but you're prompted by the Spirit. And you have to learn how to walk and live by faith, because like Scotty, he got saved at 27 years old. I think I was just before my 21st birthday, somewhere around there. It may have been later than that, but anyway. So for 27 years, he had been trained to live by what he thought, by what he felt, his emotions, the way he had seen things handled and all that. Well, then you get born again. Now you better get real good at walking and living by faith. Why? The Word says the just live how? We walk by what? And not sight. So faith is here. Now we have to begin to operate by that faith. But the thing about it is, it says it has no root in themselves. We talked about last week how stony ground, they're real quick to hear. Quick to hear it, quick to receive it. Oh, glory to God, this is so good. Remember, they got joy. They got gladness. But it also says they're quick to quit. That's the problem. Because this right here, the way the Lord showed it to me is kind of like you put a seed in the ground and the first thing that happens is that ground eats that outer shell off and you get a sprout. That sprout doesn't have roots. It's kind of like a woman. At the moment of conception, whenever that sperm meets that egg, if that's the moment of conception, now you're pregnant. You don't know you're pregnant. You don't feel you're pregnant. Do you realize that a lot of women conceive and lose miscarriage right here and they never even knew it? It's the same thing with faith. The word has come into the ground, which is your heart. It has sprouted. Joy has come, but you got to hang on. Why? Because what you want here is you have got to develop roots. And roots take time. But the problem with the stony is they're quick to hear, be glad about it, but then they're quick to give it up. Anytime, any kind of pressure. So the devil doesn't necessarily have to even be involved with this affliction word that I'm talking about. It means pressure. Now, he can put pressure on you. But how many knows this world? The Bible says for us in Romans 12:2, not to be conformed, to be fashioned or molded after or like this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind according to the Word of God, right? So you get born again, and there is major pressure on you to conform. Why? He couldn't stop you from getting born again. But he don't care much if you're a carnal Christian. And you can stay that way for a long time, forever. Some people live and die, and they never really get anywhere. Never fulfill their calling or their ministry or what God had for them to do here and things like that. But he said here that they're quick to believe, but they're quick to quit. Now, let's see where I want to go. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Y'all remember I told y'all last week I was believing God for something? Did anybody in here from what I said get a clue to what it was? I did my very best that y'all would not, but I could not hardly restrain myself from talking about it. So good. From the things I said, nobody got a clue what it was. Let's say that's Corinthians. That's why that ain't worth looking right. Most of us could probably quote this verse. I know I could before this happened to me, but God give me a little more revelation. I mean, sometimes the sweetest and the best revelation is just a little deeper one than the one you already have. He says here, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now listen to Amplified. "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to" who? The senses. Oh, some of y'all don't have Amplified. Whatever, and I hope we get it up on the screen soon. But he says there, he says, what is not revealed to the senses. Now, see how I want to start this exactly. That word hoped, when you look at it, a lot of times when you talk to people, not all the time, but a lot of times you talk to people, when you're talking to them and you use the word hope, they think hope is kind of like what we would say, wish. I wish God would do this, or I wish I had that. How many knows that's not what this word hope here means? I looked this word hope up in this particular verse, and this is what it said in the Strong's Concordance. It said to expect or confide. The other words for it says to anticipate, usually with pleasure. I thought, there's my indicator. That stony ground, they heard the word and faith came. Why? They received the word into their heart with gladness. Some places say joy. So he says there, this word hope is not a wish. It is a confident expectation. Used to, they wouldn't allow you to say the word pregnant on TV. The word, I mean, this is years and years ago. The word they would use would be expecting, because it was, you know, kind of like they thought ugly or something to say the word pregnant. So they would use the word expecting. Now, we all know that when a woman gets pregnant, she's expecting this baby to come out. You know, we're not expecting to stay pregnant forever. Hallelujah. And the more pregnant she is, the bigger she is, the closer to her due date that comes, she gets more pleasurable anticipation of, whoo, I'll be glad when I can move and breathe again. Now, I told y'all last week I was believing God for something, and I knew when I got this that I was going to have to use this for teaching purposes. And I actually thought I was going to have to wait till we got to the very end of this. But thank God I did not. I don't know if I could have took it. So, now let me say this before I show you what it was. Seeing a miracle or seeing something that God gave somebody or even you doesn't make you believe. When you go back and you read the scriptures in the life of Jesus, he did miracle after miracle after miracle. He cast out demons. He restored withered hands. I mean, all kinds of things Jesus was doing. Everywhere he went, I mean, the word would go before him and the people would be expecting. Well, then sometimes he would be talking to some, you know, about believing on him or believing him for the work's sake, and they would say, well, what miracle or what sign are you going to give us that we can believe? You know how many times he gave them one when they said that? Never. He never did. You should have believed on what you've already seen and what you've already heard, right? So, seeing a miracle or God do something doesn't make you believe. Believing is a choice. Y'all remember whenever Jesus showed up to the apostles and them that was in the room, not in the upper room, but in the room, in the house or whatever, you know, when he showed up, I believe he walked through the wall or the door or something other without opening it, and all of them was there, I think, except who was that? Thomas. And so we give him down the road, but we've all been there, done that. A lot of people call him Doubting Thomas. Well, he wasn't there. So they all saw him. And then whenever Jesus left and Thomas came in, they told him. This is called willful unbelief. Because how many knows he could have believed at their word? Because Jesus had already told them, this is going to happen. I'm going to be crucified and buried, and I'm going to be raised again on the third day, and this, that, and another. Y'all remember, right? So he had already told them. And then whenever the disciples tell him, he had a choice to make. Either I'm going to choose to believe this or I'm not. And what he said was, I will not. That's dangerous ground. I will not believe unless I put my fingers into the nail prints in his hand. Lest I thrust my hand into the piercing in his side, I will not believe. This is willful unbelief, and this is trouble. But y'all know the story. Jesus was gracious and merciful, you know. He appeared to him again, and he told Thomas, come, put your fingers in here, you know, to make a long story short. So why am I saying that? Because you got a choice about what I'm fixing to tell you. You can believe what I tell you, or you can think I'm some kind of kook. You can think I'm lying, which y'all that knows me know I wouldn't lie about it. I wouldn't lie if you don't want me to tell you about your dress. Don't ask me, because I'm definitely not going to lie. I might try to say it nice. Looks good for you, you know, if you like it or something. But anyway, because see, you got a choice. Or you can just be wayside ground. The story that I'm fixing to tell you, you can just blow it off, and it can mean nothing to you. It's just my story. Or you can hear what I'm saying with spiritual ears, get your own faith, and receive your own stuff. But it's going to be a choice that's up to you. Now, I'm trying to think of where to start. Over a year ago, there was a movie come out. Y'all that know me, I like TV. I like movies. Some people fish. Some people hunt. Some people golf. Some people Facebook, you know, marketplace, play games on the, whatever, a lot of different things. Some people, they enjoy reading books. I enjoy watching movies. Now, I'm one, you know, another story. Give me a fast jet, a fast car, a fast motorcycle, and blow something up at least once. That's my movie. Scotty's kind of movie is The Notebook. I couldn't even make it through all that movie. You know, down those lines, those romantic love stories. And you wouldn't believe it because the man's not romantic a bit. It's just, but that's his kind of movie. Where mine is the action thriller hanging off the bluff. You know, I don't do all this stuff, so I live it through the movies. You know, and I have surround sound. So I don't just feel the jet. Hear the jet, I feel the jet. You know how the roar when it takes off? My living room's going, wah. I like that. And I told Scotty, I said, I'm going to buy me. I wanted a TV for Christmas. Now, I had, I think it was a 54-inch, something like that. And I told him, I said, I want a big one. I want to feel like when I'm watching TV, I'm at the movies. Why? I don't go to the movies normally. I like to wait in line and all that stuff, you know, and pay and, I like to do it now, but anyway. So he got me a 70-inch TV for Christmas. Now I would like to have 4 70-inch. Y'all seen them people on there? It's called We Hang TVs. They'll come and put you 4 70-inches together, synchronize them together, and you got a whopping TV, a wall full of TV. But now I'm probably not going to get that. But anyway, I'm trying to lead up to my story here. So I told him, I said, and I'm going to buy them theater chairs and put them here in the living room. I'm going to take this couch out and this love seat out, and I'm going to buy me them theater couches and stuff. You know, they got your little drink holders here, and if you can get them, some of them move, but I doubt I get them. But anyway, to make a long story short, about a year ago, or just over a year ago, there was a movie come out. I seen it advertised on TV. I wanted to watch it real bad. I went, so Scotty took me to the movies. You know, he usually gives me what I want. I just don't want much of the time. I told him, I said, you should have married Sandy or Darce if you think I want stuff. But anyway. So he takes me to the movies. We watch this movie. Oh, there was jets. There was motorcycles. Oh, there was all kinds of stuff. This is my kind of movie, man. Anyway, I like the movie. Well, we go home, you know, and a little bit later, the movie, I seen it on TV. And I watched it again. And Sandy, I liked it even more this time than I liked it the first time. I'm not going to tell y'all how many times I've watched this movie. It's beginning to get a little embarrassing. I watched it again just yesterday because I got Travis to show me how to use the DVR. Now I watch that movie anytime I want. Well, to make a long story short, or to get on with my story, the more I watch this movie, Sandy, the more I begin to notice these sunglasses. And at one part of the movie, everybody in the movie right there on that little clip has on a different pair of sunglasses. And the main character in the movie has on a certain kind of sunglasses. And I don't know what it is. I got sunglasses. I don't know what it is. But they was something got in here. And there became a desire for sunglasses like that. Now, it's not because the main character, I'm in love with him or think he's something or think if I had these, I would be something. No, I can't explain it to you. Just a desire began to get, not in my head, but in my heart. And every time I would see that movie, these sunglasses would stick out to me and I think, I'm going to get me a pair of them sunglasses, just like them in the movie. So I researched, I like Google. I think Jesus created Google. Anyway, I researched the movie, you know, and the glasses they wore in the movie. And at this one particular point, I think every pair of glasses this particular people made, they had them on, the different kinds, you know. Well, while I'm watching the movie, I'm like, I'm going to get me some of these glasses. Now I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I am splurging at $25 to $30 here. I'm thinking that's probably max on these sunglasses. Well, I look it up. Why are you laughing, Beth? I look it up, and the cheapest with my discount, because I have a membership thing to somewhere, is $169. And I thought, what? Are you kidding me? And that ain't even the kind I want. So this thing, it just keeps growing. I can't get it out there. And I watch the movie again, oh gosh, and it's just like water and the sunglass desire, you know, and I'm not even trying to. And so I look up some more, you know, and research some more and everything, and I figure out what I want, the kind I want, because they have different brands and different kinds and everything. These are 200 and over, and I thought, you would got to be, I am not going to pay this amount of money for these sunglasses. Now, something is worth to you whatever value you put on it. You're the one places the value on something. God placed such value on us that his very valuable, most valuable thing he could give was his son Jesus. So that tells you our value. Now, you might not think my value is that much, but to him it is. So anyway, to carry on my story here, this desire, I mean, it's getting bigger. I want these sunglasses. I can't figure out why I want these. I don't need these sunglasses. I have sunglasses, but I don't have these, D. And they just won't leave me alone. I want them so bad. But I don't want them enough to pay. I have the money to pay for them. You know, I'm debt-free. I got a lot of bills. I mean, we've had five vehicles, business insurance, you know, plus a dump truck with full coverage insurance. That's just the insurance thing. So, I mean, I got a lot of bills even though I'm debt-free, you know, far as payments or whatever. And I had the money. I could have bought these. I made up my mind. I'm not going to do it. Well, I started getting this. I blame God for it. What I'll do. I'll just believe God for them. So, I start believing God for them. Now, he takes me over to this scripture. He says this hoped for, this confident expectation, anticipation, which usually brings pleasure. Oh my goodness, you talk about anticipation. I thought I wasn't going to be able to take it. Now, there's a difference. Let me explain something here. When you're trying to be in faith, do you understand there's a fake? Whatever God has, devil imitates. There is a fake faith, and you don't get nothing because it's not real. But when you have the real, there is on the inside of you this anticipation, and it makes you glad. It makes you go to the mailbox at 7:30 at night, D, because it's dark, so you're feeling around with joy, and it's not in there. Oh, well, maybe tomorrow. This is what's happening to me. And so I'm looking, I tell y'all about it, but I try to be very careful not to tell y'all what it is, because it might come through y'all. I don't know where it's come. I know that I know that I know them sunglasses are mine, and they're coming. I don't know how. I don't know when. So I can't tell you, because a lot of people like to use manipulation so I can tell you what I need, and maybe God's going to use you. Shut your mouth. They don't nobody got to know what your needs are. God needs to know what your needs are. And I'm not saying you can't ever tell nobody. Sometimes he may tell you too, something other. But anyway, I'm making it a point. Nobody knows except Scotty. Because, see, I like to pray and talk to the Lord when I'm on the back porch, you know. I mean, this had happened to me one night. I'm standing at the corner of the porch. I don't know, it's maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I'm just looking up in the sky and I'm talking to God about these sunglasses. And there is such pleasurable anticipation. I mean, I feel like a kid. On Christmas morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting in front of the Christmas tree with the presents, waiting on Mom and them to get up. And then Mama gets up and says, you got to wait on everybody else to get up. I'm like, oh, I can't take it. Then we got to all eat our breakfast. Oh, I can't take it. Just fast today. I'm talking about this is the kind of anticipation that I've got. It's like, I got to get these things. I got to get them. Now, fear will motivate you. You're looking. You think it's this kind of anticipation, but it's not. It's motivated by fear. And so it's, God, is it over there? God, you got to hurry. God, is it over there? So you got this anticipation. You're looking, but it's not right. It's not faith. There's no confidence. There's no joy in it. You're being motivated by fear to look, and you're being motivated by fear to say. See, some people think if you name it, claim it, confess it, possess it, that's how it happens. No, you believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth, just like when you got born again. Remember how we went over that? He said the same way you received him is the same way you walk in him. You believe in your heart, and because you believe it, you can't help but to confess it out of your mouth. It was everything I could do last Sunday not to tell y'all this whole story. So anyway, I'm talking to God about these sunglasses, and I almost lost them, Johnny, because of religious thinking. See, it says affliction, pressure. Then it says persecution. Then it talks about offended on this stony ground. Now, right now, I know we're stopped here on faith. But I thought, okay, I'm going to believe God for these sunglasses. Well, Travis and Beth, they come and they watch the movie with me. Now, Travis, because I didn't know I was going to be believing God for these, I had told him about I want them sunglasses, you know, and told him I'd looked them up. And I said, you know what the things cost? I'm not buying them things. Well, they was out there one day and we had watched the movie. And I said, he's got my glasses on. I said, that's all I'm going to say about that. Because I caught myself. Because it came out before I could stop it. The Bible says we believe, therefore we speak. Well, so Travis knew about him, but not to the fullness of what Scotty did. Everything that I got, I told Scotty about, you know. And I told him, I said, see if you can do something about this. Because this is ridiculous. Anyway, we get through the movie. Travis comes out and he says, why don't you just buy you some the sunglasses? I said, I will not. I said, God is going to give me them sunglasses. Out of my mouth, and I hadn't even asked him for them yet. Well, they go on, you know. Beth don't know anything or whatever. Well, then I start having these. Now, I can tell the difference. This is not the devil, and this is not God, what I'm fixing to tell you. This is my own carnal religious thinking. I can tell it's coming out of my head. I start having these thoughts. Good grief, Teresa. And I start feeling guilty. Good grief, Teresa. You're believing God for sunglasses? Are you serious? There's people on here starving to death, people that's lost, and you're going to believe God for sunglasses? Come on. And I started feeling a little bit guilty, and I thought, but I want them. They're in here. I want them. And so I told God, I said, God, I don't have no scripture or nothing about no sunglasses, God. I want them. Go over to, Beth, put it up on the screen for us, please. Psalm 37, 4 through 5. I'm telling you, we're in conversation, just like if me and you was having a conversation. There's no pause in none of this. This is just like this. I said, God, how can I believe for sunglasses? I ain't got no scripture for no sunglasses. You know what I'm saying? And this is trying to take the word. See, the thing about the stony ground, if you're going to get roots, that word has to remain till it runs its course and makes them roots. And so the devil and the world has got to get it out. This is where I'm at right here with this. I said, God, I ain't got no scripture about no sunglasses. This is the most ridiculous thing, God, I've ever heard of. Ain't that what religion says? What do you need with a car like? We bought this building and land down here, and some of the people around here, you know what they told Scotty? What do you need with that building down there? What y'all need more land for? Well, number one, what's it your business? You don't pay the bills around here. We need it. We want it, and God wants us to have it. We got it. Anyway, instantly he brought the scripture up. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee what? My sunglasses. Woo! I said, God, that's it. That word desire, when he spoke that scripture to me, I'm telling you, it was like the Holy Ghost put a magnifying glass on that word desires. There's my sunglasses. He said, delight thyself, that word delight, you look it up, it says modable and pliable, thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart, and don't sweat it. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Monty, I want you to read this in an Amplified, please. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Can you read verse 5, Monty, in the Amplified? Are you sure that's Amplified? Mine says something different. Okay. Anyway, it's like cast all the care of it over on him. Don't be concerned about it. Now, that'll be when we get on down to thorny ground, too. But he spoke this to me, and I said, there's my sunglasses. Okay, God. Then he began to minister this verse to me. Look at 1 John 4, 15 through 19, Beth. It says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and that he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. This is the one he spoke to me. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That verse 17 in the Amplified, it says, perfected, matured, or coming to maturity love. God began to minister to me about how much he loves me. And he's not just talking to me. He told us the first of the year, us as individuals and this body was going to go higher this year. He began to tell me, he said, I'm your father. He said, and I just want to give you a gift. He said, just because I love you, I want you to believe for it. I want to give it to you. Sandy, when he got to that, it's on like Donkey Kong now. I'm telling you, in here, I mean, I can almost feel them glasses in my hand. Why? Because maturing love of how much God loves me cast out all fear. Religion says, what you need with that? Well, I need it. And maybe I don't even need it, I want it. Go to my next one, Beth. He told me this one then, Johnny. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, this is how I read this. Y'all should read it for yourself, but anyway. Charge them that are rich in this world. That's me. Sandy, me and you, the only two rich in here, I guess. So he's talking to us, and we're going to get it. Charge them that are rich in this world, I say, that's me. That they be not high-minded, I'm not. Them glasses ain't going to make me, break me, think I'm something I'm not, add anything, nothing. You understand what I'm telling you? If God told me today to give them glasses to somebody, it wouldn't bother me whatsoever. He says that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. I don't. He said, but in the living God, and I do. Notice what he says. Who giveth us richly all sunglasses just for your enjoyment. Did y'all read that like I did? It's not about the sunglasses. It's about this desire in my heart, and God loves me, and he just wants me to have them, Johnny, because I want them. I want them. I don't know why I want the things. This is ridiculous. My mind is having to be renewed to this. Because, see, I don't need it. They cost a lot to me. Some people, that wouldn't be nothing. I don't want to pay that amount for it. But God wants to give me a gift. I'll show y'all. And listen, I have wore Scotty out, the poor man, bless his heart, about these sunglasses. I'm telling you, every day, every time I think about them, I can't help myself. I'll be sitting on the couch watching TV or doing something, and I say, thank you, Lord, for my sunglasses. I can't help it. Just, I cannot help myself. So, y'all see that? Y'all can't see what that says, can you? Ray-Ban. This ain't your grandmama's Dollar General's, baby. No, sir. And I didn't even ask for the case. God does abundantly above, greater than that we can ask or think, right? I didn't even ask for the case. He throwed it in there. Yeah, look at this. I keep them wrapped up because they're a gift from my father. And I don't want them scratched. Did God do good or did he do good, boy? Woo, he did good. Now, God, he is so good to us. So good. These glasses. Now, I'm going to tell you who God used to get them to me. I say this, y'all have heard me say this before. God has 101 ways to fix your problem or get something to you you ain't even thought about yet. The person God used, I'm telling you, I could see them, but I didn't see them. They never, ever crossed my mind. D, you crossed my mind. Johnny crossed my mind. Mama crossed. All y'all just about crossed. But one person in here never crossed my mind. Not one time. Beth got me those sunglasses. Beth does not know I'm believing God for those sunglasses. I told you she was in at the movie with me when I said, he's wearing my sunglasses, and that's all I'm going to say about that. She didn't know. Now, would you think she's believing God for them sunglasses? I need to get from that. Or you just think, gosh, she likes sunglasses or something. You know what happened? I had a desire, and I told God, I said, God, I need a word about these sunglasses. Here you go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 words. He didn't speak to Beth and say, thus saith the Lord, Beth, get your mother-in-law them sunglasses. You know what he done? Gave a desire. Now, Travis knows. Beth don't, and Travis ain't said nothing. Scotty knows, and he even told me, he said, because I'm wearing him out, Johnny. I mean, he wants this anticipation. He wants me to have them because, I mean, I'm anticipating these things. Day and night, I can't help myself. And he told me, he said, I started to call Travis and tell him, look, just call and order them glasses for your mama. He said, and I thought, if she asked me, did I have anything to do with it, I can't lie. I said, you better not. You better not dare. Well, after the movie and everything, they go home or whatever, and Beth tells Travis, we ought to get your mama them sunglasses. Now, if y'all know anything about Beth and Travis, they're thrifty spenders, boy. That's a good way to say, tight and stingy, you need some WD-40. You get Beth birthday money 3 years later, she still got her birthday money. The girl buys clothes at Family Dollar, Dollar Tree out here. And I'm not saying, that's what I'm pointing. Nothing wrong with that. My point to all of it is, they don't pay $200-something for no sunglasses for your mama. Travis might do it for his daddy, but he don't do that for his mama. And Beth don't do it for nobody, not even herself. And she tells Travis, we should buy your mama them sunglasses. So, they order me their sunglasses, Sandy. Now I'm going to that mailbox. I'm looking at y'all when I get to church. I'm listening close. I'm listening when I go to the post office. Nothing. Well, Wednesday, right before church, I go to the mailbox. I see the mail run. I'm running to the mailbox. I go out there to that mailbox. Or no, he brings it up there because it's a. I have a couple of packages. Something I had ordered, and then there's another package, and I thought it was something else. Maybe Scotty ordered. I open that, and there's this bright purple bag with silver streamers on it, and there's a card in there. And remember what I told you God said? He said, I'm your father, and I want to give you a gift. There's a little card in there, Sandy, and it says, a gift for you. It didn't have to say that. It could have just been the sunglasses. It says, a gift for you. Happy birthday. My birthday is not till next month. I know who give that gift for me. Now, maybe they got in their head, this is my birthday gift, so they're not going to get me nothing in April, but that's not so. That was from God. He just used y'all, so I'm still waiting on my birthday present. But this is how I know they come from God. Now, see, my mind, sometimes you can get so looking for the spectacular, you miss the supernatural. God can and does do spectacular supernatural things. But sometimes the way he does them, you're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to believe it or you're not going to believe it? Anyway, that card, it said, a gift for you. Happy birthday. Oh, when I looked at Scotty, I said, you did not. I mean, I'm on fire. I think Scotty's ordered these glasses. I'm grabbing that phone, and he's so excited, he's opening it. I didn't even open them up. I opened and seen what it was, and I mean, I got mad. I said, you better not. I mean, I'm getting bad mad. I ain't been this mad in a while since vacation, you know, I've been working on it. Not one time have I been mad. And he's opening them up. Ray-Ban, he's opening them up. I turn around, and he's got them on. I'm on the phone calling Travis, and I said, Travis, I said, did your daddy tell you to order these sunglasses? He said, what are you talking about? I said, these sunglasses. I wanted these sunglasses. Did your daddy tell you? No, Beth did. He said, Beth ordered them. Beth said, we should get your mama these glasses. I said, well, okay then. Then over Scott, I said, give me my glasses. What are you doing my glasses on? He said, this is a miracle. Look at that. Could you say that? I said, give me my glasses. Now, what is my point to all that? This process, except for that anticipation, I mean, whew, good grief. I mean, I could do without that. That is just, I mean, nonstop. Sandy, it was easier for me to do this than eat a cookie. Y'all didn't get it, did you? Y'all know how quick and easy I can eat a cookie? Now, if it's asparagus, it's going to take me 3 years. But a cookie, I mean, I can scarf that baby up, especially if it's chocolate chip or something, you know. This is how easy this process was. But see, I started to let it go at the very beginning because it was sunglasses. Y'all not saying that. The religious is the one that had a problem with Jesus all the time. It's religion that teaches us, that tells us we should be broke. We should not have any. And listen to me, there has been wrong stuff put out there, taught, preached about financial prosperity and prospering in your mind and all areas. But Brother Brad used to teach us, he said, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because how many knows, a lot of time, a good lie has a little bit of truth in it. So my religious mind, so I had to have some mind renewal because I'm thinking, God, I should be believing you for souls. I should be believing you for somebody's need, you know, or something or another, not stupid sunglasses. This is ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. My mind. There's nothing ridiculous to God if you desire. Beth, put up this real quick, and then we're going to have to stop. John 15:7. I want you to see something. This is what the problem was, one of the problems with the stony ground. And this John 15:7 is how you fix it. If you abide in me and my words, I want you to have these sunglasses. Delight yourself in the Lord. There's my word, Sandy, in my heart. And my words, what? They remain. This stony ground was quick to hear, quick to receive, but quick to quit. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, what? There's my sunglasses. You shall ask what God wills. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. My sunglasses. Are y'all getting this or not? Over there, then he took me over there to Mark 11:24, and we're going to quit with this. Put it up, please, Beth. Therefore I say unto you, we know this was Jesus talking, what things soever, my sunglasses, you desire. Ah, whatever you desire, not in your head. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The Amplified Bible says, believe that you receive them and you'll get it. Now, this is the same word desire is the word over there in Psalm 37. Same word. You look it up, it says, whatever you ask. How many knows, I believe it's Matthew 7, says, whoever asks what? Receives. Whoever knocks, the door's open. Whoever seeks, finds. He says, but ask what you will. Now, this is part of, because see, we don't want to be stony ground. And we're going to see why they're stony ground and how we cannot be stony ground. A lot of people live and die right here, and they didn't even know they was ever pregnant. You hear me? We got to stop because our time is actually a few minutes past. Does anybody have anything quickly they'd like to share or comment or anything before we close? And no, God didn't tell me to give you my sunglasses. If he does, I